The Bible says that we are the fragrance of Jesus Christ to God. Isn't that great? Oh, we just released in the knowledge of God the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's beautiful. Well, if you got your Bibles, get them out. You're going to want to see this with your own eyes. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good? Well, I got to tell you, I'm pretty excited about being here today. You guys excited about being here today?
Yes.
Me too. God's got something good planned for us. So let me open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity for us today, Lord. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. We worship and honor you, Lord, for without you, we can do absolutely nothing, Lord. You are all in all. You fill us, transform us. You saved us, redeemed us, Father, equipped us, qualified us, completed us, Lord. You have fulfilled your side of the bargain. And I thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. That, Father, we were absolutely lost without you. And that by your great plan and your provision, Lord, you made it possible that we can be one spirit with you, Father. And for that, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Is this thing on? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right, so do you have your Bibles out? Go to Romans chapter 7. Last week, we were talking about being able to receive our healing from the Spirit, which is our spirit, into our bodies. Were y'all here last week? Have any of you practiced that at all during the week? No condemnation if you haven't. No condemnation if you haven't. Because I'll tell you what, it's not easy to develop new habits. It's not easy to get off of automatic pilot. And our brains are used to snapping back to the way they have been for so long. And so to deliberately make them align themselves with God takes some time, takes some effort. It just really takes sincere effort. And so, but as we practice and practice, we'll get better and better at it. So in Romans chapter 8, I just want to go over a verse that we went over last week that I just want to remind you as we continue to talk about this. And that is verse 11 in Romans chapter 8. So I'll give you guys a second to turn there. It says this. He's got it on the screen so you can look on the screen. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And we asked, is the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Raise your hand. If the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, raise your hand. Amen. He is. He who raised Christ from the dead will also do what? Give life to your mortal bodies. Through how? His Spirit, where? Who dwells in you. So when you receive a miracle, when you receive a healing, when you operate in a gift of the Holy Spirit, when you manifest God on any level in this world, how does it come? By his Spirit in you, through you. Healing is the same way. It comes out of your spirit who's in you into your body. Okay? So this idea of getting it from my spirit or the Holy Spirit who's in me to be transformed into your body for your healing is not how it works. It's my spirit coming in union with your spirit. So it comes out of your spirit into the body. That's why we lay hands on people. Are you with me? So the same spirit that's on me that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that's on you and in you that raised Christ from the dead. How many of y'all believe that? Raise your hands. All right. This we can say, and I love this little example. My grandma, she had the little doggy in the back window of her old Ford Fairlane, and that little dog would do this with its head on a spring. You know that? And then on her dash, I don't know what my grandma was thinking. She had on her dash a little Hawaiian girl that would do this. You guys remember those guys? Okay. They're not alive. They're just mimicking, bobbing. And so there's a lot of verses in the Bible that we can do this and say it's true. But when our mind snaps back to the way we're used to living, is that where you go? Is that where you go? It needs to be where you go. So from the Spirit is how we get these things. Amen? So we have so many assets available to us to overcome the things in this world and the devil and our flesh. We have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We do. We have the authority that's given to us by God, don't we? We have that Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53 died on a cross and paid the price for your sins and for mine, that he bore our sicknesses and our pains on himself, right? That by the lashes that he took, by his stripes that he took, we are healed. Is that true? We can say that. We've got all of that in our artillery, in our armament, ready to go after the devil. But do you know what? There's something even greater than all of that. I'm getting Holy Spirit bumps already. There's something even greater than all of that that we've been given. More than the name of Jesus. More than that he died on the cross for us. More than the authority that we have and been instructed to implement on the earth. And I want you to see what that is. And I want to really expand on this idea that I'm about to share with you. Are you with me? All right, go to Colossians chapter 1. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we are more than conquerors. Have you guys heard that verse before? That we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Well, how is it that we're more than conquerors? How am I more of a conqueror than Jesus was? Wow, that's something to think about, huh? So here's something you should look at in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at verse, I'm going to start in verse 24. This is Paul. And he is talking, Paul has a special revelation from God. You guys know the story of Paul? He was on the road to Damascus to go enslave and imprison and kill Christians to stop this plague of deceived people from infecting the purity of the Hebrew Israel generation. So he was going to stop this thing, this false doctrine that was going out in all the earth. And then on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ manifested himself in a bright light to Paul. And him and all the soldiers heard Jesus talk. And Paul was knocked off his horse and was blinded, had cataracts because of the glory of God. You guys know that, right? And then God spoke to him and gave him a call that he was to preach a message to the world that has never been preached before. Jesus didn't even preach it. Its time wasn't come yet. Jesus had to actually ascend to the Father before this message could be released in the world. And so Paul was the one. That's why he calls it his gospel. That don't listen to any other gospel than the one that he has told you. Because this is the good news since Jesus has resurrected and ascended into heavenly places that we need to really pay attention to. And so as he was revealing this to the world, it was a secret. It was kept from everybody. It was established before the foundations of the world. But angels weren't allowed to tell people. Jesus didn't tell people. The prophets weren't shown it so that they can tell people. It was hidden. It was a secret kept very secret. But Paul is the first one allowed to reveal this mystery to the whole world. Are you ready? So this is a vital piece of information that we need to understand. Starting in verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Wow, that's a statement right there. That's something most people do not want to ever have to say. For the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. This is what Jesus told him. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Hold it right there, Bruce. So this mystery is now going to be revealed to his saints, to you and to me. And here is this message that is so important to get to the whole world. Verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This we preach. So, Christ, where?
In me.
Where's Jesus at?
In me.
We really need to get this down in our hearts. I read to you last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, remember, that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? And we, with unveiled eyes, with the blinders taken off of our eyes, as if we were looking in a mirror, checking ourselves out, we see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in and on ourselves. And this is by the Spirit of the Lord. We are transformed from the glory of a natural man to the glory of the heavenly man by the Spirit of God, right? So in that fellowship with the Spirit who's in us, we're transformed in that same likeness and image from glory to glory. Are you with me? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know when Jesus comes again, how he's going to raise you? He's going to raise you by himself. God raised Jesus from the dead, and he's going to raise you the same way, by the glory of God. That in you, the Spirit of God dwells. Jesus Christ dwells in you personally. And when he starts getting closer, we're going to see him as he is and be changed into that same image. In other words, mortality is finally going to be completely swallowed up by life, right? So if you're walking on your two legs or sitting on your two cheeks when he comes, you will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. You guys know that? That glory of God is going to rise inside of you and get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and brighter until that same light and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be in full magnitude in you and in me. And then the sun and the moon is going to flee away. No longer is it going to be natural light. It's going to be the light of Christ that shines out of all of us that we live by. There'll be no darkness. Do you hear me? That same Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, is placed inside of you and me right now. And we have the first fruits, a guarantee, the deposit of the Holy Spirit in us right now. And that's how the apostles in the book of Acts did all the miracles through the baptisms, right, of the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the baptisms of the Holy Spirit, not only is Christ just in you, but now he moves through you into others, activating their spirits so their bodies can be healed and they can be set free, right? It has nothing to do with sin in a person's life. It has nothing to do with whether they're being obedient to God or if they even know God. When your spirit is activated, it will charge whoever you put your hands on and activate their spirit that healing can fill their body. Are you with me? And it doesn't have to be by your hands alone. It can be by anointing cloth, right? Prayer cloth. It can be by just speaking words. And your words, John 6:63. Let's look at that real quick. You guys know this, but I need to get this really cemented in your hearts for where we're going to go. How many of you guys have this verse memorized? Great, we're in good company then. John chapter 6, verse 63. It says, it is the Spirit who does what? Gives life. Didn't we read that in Romans chapter 8? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh what? Profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So we can heal through our words. Because the rhema words of Christ that we speak convey and are alive. And we can heal through speaking. Right? So God's given us all kinds of vessels to do these things. But I have found that me telling people that Christ is in you, your hope of glory, that you have the first fruits of his spirit in you and you'll be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, just like that, people agree with me instantly, just like you did. But then when I say, prove to me that Christ is in you, because God backed up Jesus when he was walking on the earth. Remember me saying that? So God, Acts 10:38. Let's look at that real quick. Let's see how fast Bruce is on the computer. Acts 10:38. Are you there? It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Is God with you? Is God with me? So it's God working through us doing these things. Jesus says, I can do nothing. But it's the Father who in me who does the works. Are you with me? Great. So now, why is there a disconnect between what we just all agreed is true and consistently seeing the manifestation of the things of God in our life? We're going to learn that today. We're going to look at that today. And some of us, we're very good at what I'm about to teach, and others of us need a little bit of work on it, okay? But the word is true. Whether you know it's true or not, it's true. But the only word that works for you, that the Bible says, is the work that you have, the word that you have proven is true. The word that is inside of you, that is now your makeup. So go ahead and turn with me to John chapter 15. This is exciting stuff, you guys. God loves hearing about this stuff. He loves us really getting this down in our hearts. He loves it. Because I tell you, when it comes to us manifesting the things of the Holy Spirit, the devil likes to give us a lot of grief about that stuff, doesn't he? Our flesh likes to give us a little bit of grief about that stuff, doesn't it? Our mind, our conscience sometimes even condemns us or tries to disqualify us, doesn't it? It sure does. Because you know why? The devil is a master at training you to look at your flesh as to who you are. But doesn't the Bible say that we died in Christ? Romans chapter 6, doesn't it say that? It does. It says it. But it's difficult for us to sometimes get this. So here's where I'm going to help you. Did I tell you to go to John 15?
Yes.
All right, I meant it. Okay, John chapter 15. I'm going to read it in two translations. We're going to read verse 4 through verse 8. So let's look at this first word. Abide. Shout out to me so that everybody can hear it on my microphone. Shout out to me what the word abide means to you. Dwell. Live, reside, remain, stay. What was that? Rest. So it's quite a full word, isn't it? It could be like habitate, make your home in, remain, stay, dwell, live. All those are good, right? So abide where? In me. Now look, I'm going to make a little black and white contrast here. We've just been seeing that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Jesus in you doing the works, right? We've made all, let's look at the other side of the question, the other side of the equation. It's you in him. Isn't there two sides of this coin? I in you and you in me. We're going to look at that here. Abide in me and I in you. So there's two sides to this coin, isn't there? There's two actions here. That's him coming inside of you, but there's you coming inside of him. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so we'll read all four verses, shall we? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides, lives, dwells, remains, stays consistently in the vine, neither can you. So if we're not doing some of the great works and deeds that Jesus did, this abiding in him could be part of the equation, right? Part of it. I can hear people's hearts and minds already going, but I abide in Jesus. I abide in Jesus. I'm born again. I ask God to come in my heart. That's Christ in you. How about you in him? Let's go on. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, thank you. I'm going to read straight through them, okay, Bruce? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do how much?
Nothing.
So if some of you are going around and expecting to see people healed, but nothing's happening, maybe, let's go on. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. 7 says, if you abide in me and my what?
Words.
God, Jesus' words are spirit and they are life. And if my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Little doggies can say, but now look, we're not talking about just him living in you anymore. We're talking about you dwelling, living, remaining, making your home in him, right? So, I want to read this in another translation. You guys can just rest and pay attention as I read it. This is the Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T. It says, 14 through 8, you must remain in union with me. And I will remain in union with you. Just as no branch by itself can bear fruit unless it remains united to the vine. So you cannot unless you remain in union with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in union with me and I in union with him will bear abundant fruit. Because you cannot do anything cut off from union with me. If anyone does not remain in union with me, he is thrown away as the mere branch and is dried up. Then it is picked up and thrown into the fire and burned up. If you remain in union with me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you please and you shall have it. By your continuously bearing abundant fruit, and in this way, proving yourselves to be real disciples of mine, my Father is glorified. Wow, pretty exciting stuff, isn't it? So when we remain in Christ, these things happen, right? Go with me back to a very, very familiar scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're making a distinction between Christ in you and you in Christ. Ready? Therefore, if anyone is in where? He is a new creation. So the new creation comes from you being in Christ. Now, if you dwell and remain, live, make your home, stay in union and connected together as one with Christ, you're a new creation. Are you with me? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So how is it that old things have passed away and all things have become new? How many of you, when you got born again, have had this testimony or heard of someone who had this testimony that when they got saved, their eyes, it's like everything was vibrant. The colors were all like, wow, like as if you just turned the saturation up on the colors and they're just so bright. Now, everything was the same, but you have new eyes to see. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying when I say that? So, this old things have passed away and behold, all things are made new thing. It's by having some new eyes opened. And when you have new eyes open, do you know that you get a new perspective of the world around you, don't you? The Bible says that we are to separate the precious from the vile. That means there's precious and vile all mixed together, but we're supposed to find the precious and pull it out and focus on the precious and not the vile. Right? So now, we were back in Colossians 1:27, where what does it say in that? We just read it, Colossians 1:27, that there's a mystery, and this mystery is being revealed by Paul, that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Colossians is really awesome, and it tells us where Christ is. If Christ is in you, and then you are in Christ, where are you in Christ? Go to chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Oh, so this is where Christ is. We're in him, right? So this is where Christ is, and we're in him. And your flesh body is here, and Christ is in you. So we kind of switched positions. Are you with me? Romans chapter 7 says that he became sin so that we can become what? The righteousness of God. Where? In him. In Christ Jesus. So all of these things in Christ that you're going to read, they're all here where Christ is. If you're in Christ, then you're here because this is where Christ is. Ready? Seated, sitting, at the right hand of God. We need to meditate on this, you guys. We really need to think about this. See, it's the Spirit of God in me that does the miracles. But I have to see myself seated there at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. If I don't abide there, I can do nothing. I'm just a regular person on the earth hoping God's going to do something for me. Crying, squee-weeing, bellyaching, begging, complaining, wishing, hoping, praying, asking, and nothing's happening. Why? Because I'm dislocated from where I'm supposed to be. If I am abiding in Him, this is where He is, seated at the right hand of God. So all the in Christ scriptures that you read in your Bible means that you are seated in Christ at the right hand of God. So all the things that it says that you are in the Bible, you are a new creation, seated there. So old things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new, because now you're living your life from seated in Christ on the throne of God with God. Now your perspective of who you are has just changed. You're no longer the worm. You're the butterfly. By the transforming of your mind, right? We have to renew our mind, or the spirit of our mind, as the Bible says, that I am in Christ there. When I really get that down, that He's in me on the earth, and I'm in Him in the throne. If it doesn't work for you, it's because you break that and you're not remaining in Him. But if you remain in Him, then whatever you ask will be done for you. Why? Because you're sitting with Him in His throne. That's your position. That's who you are. Okay, I'm going to do this because none of you will. Yes, hallelujah, that's good, good, good news. Praise God. Wow. Wow. The devil will try to hypnotize you and snap your mind right back into the things of this world, into this body, so that you say, this is who I am. But what does Paul say in Galatians 2:20? I know Pastor Trey knows this one by heart. Shout it out, Pastor Trey. It is no longer, but, and the life that I live in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. All right, it's on the screen. Ready? Everybody read it out loud. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So who actually is living in the flesh? Christ. So then who's actually seated in the throne of God? You. In Christ, Him here in you. This is a conundrum. This is a real difficult thing to understand. I agree with you. So Paul addressed it. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You remember that chapter? Let's go there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Chapter 2. I'd like to start in verse 6, but that's a lot, because I actually want to focus on verse 14. So I'm going to read it anyway, just because it's a lot. Are you with me? We're going to read 6 through 15 or 16. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. Did I say something else? 1 Okay. You're right, I did. That's talking about the first Adam and the second Adam. Nope, the last Adam. Sorry, back up. I'm wrong. You're right. 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know what? They're going to have to take this one verse out of the Bible that I'm about to read. Ready? Verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. All right? Those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for your glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. None of those people could possibly have even known this. It was completely hidden from them, but not from you. But God has revealed them to us through where? So it comes from the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Whose Spirit? God's Spirit searches the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except what? The spirit of the man. So your spirit man knows the deep things of you, and God's Holy Spirit knows the deep things of him, right? Except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now they didn't have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit would descend on them and leave. He would do miracles and then leave. He stays and remains in us. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So God gave us some stuff, but the only way we know what he gave us is by the Spirit. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Doing what? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So if the things of the Spirit of God are not operating in our lives, it might be because we are not seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, and we're operating from the natural person. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So by his stripes you were healed is spiritually discerned. That the life that's going to fill your mortal flesh is spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no man or no one. 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Which one of you knows God so well that you can tell him something? That's how it was in the Old Testament, you guys. Because they didn't have this revealed to them. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them to reveal these things to him. But where does Christ live? In me. Where do you live? In him. Galatians goes so far as says, you live in the Spirit. Therefore walk in the Spirit. Right? He goes so far to say that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, right? Jesus says in John chapter 3, that which is born of spirit is spirit, and that which is born of flesh is flesh. So we have to inhabit who we are in Christ, in the Spirit. It has to become a reality to us. Otherwise, we'll just be disqualified, natural men and women waiting to die to have the promises of God revealed to us in heaven. Are you with me? So it says, but we have. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. No way, no way, no way. No way this could be true. There's no way this could be in the Bible. But we have what? I have the mind of Christ. It says so. Doesn't it? So that means I can know the mind of God because I have it. Whoa, wait a second. I can know the mind of God because I have it? I have the mind of God? Can you say that? I have the mind of God. This is where you go tilt. Well, I don't think so. I don't believe that. And you'll receive exactly what you believe and recite to yourself in your own heart. You will have whatever you say in your heart. But the Bible says that I have the mind of Christ. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. But our flesh cannot comprehend that as true. A natural man cannot even begin to believe that's true. So we have to decide, am I spiritual, seated in Christ Jesus in the throne of God? Or am I a man on the earth waiting for God to rescue me? Jesus says, I already did. It's called sozo. It's called being saved. When you're on the island and your boat broke and you're on an island and they save you. They did what? They rescued you because you couldn't get off the island on your own. So you had to have help getting off. So they saved or rescued you. They go, we're saved. You were in the flesh, trapped in the flesh. Sin dwelt in the flesh. So Jesus had to come and condemn sin in the flesh so that you died with him on that cross, so that you could be raised with him and seated in heavenly places in God. This has to get to become a reality in our hearts. This is shouting hallelujah stuff, you guys. This is really praise the Lord stuff. And as we abide in him, dwell and remain united and connected one with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. I have the mind of Christ. I'm one spirit with him. So how could that be? How could that be? How could that be? Because I am sitting right next to him in Christ on the throne, and my vantage point, my view of the world is from seated victoriously in Christ. That's how I am more than a conqueror. That's how I can say by his stripes I was, past tense, healed. That's how I can say that I can do all things who through Christ who strengthens me, right? How Jesus said, the things that I do, you can do also. Why? Because I go to my Father. What does that mean? Because I go to my Father so that he can give the Holy Spirit to be in you on the earth, but that he can take you with him to be seated in God. So since you're seated in God, in Christ, now, all the things that Jesus did, you can do also. This is a mystery. This is something the flesh cannot believe. The carnal mind is enmity against God. In Romans chapter 7, it says, it's the enemy of God. Galatians says that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. There's a war that goes on here. Are you flesh or are you spirit? That's the war that's going on inside of you, that you have to renew your mind, renew the spirit of your mind, that I am spirit. I am seated in heavenly places. I am in Christ Jesus. When I settle that, I walk as Christ. Go back with me to Colossians chapter 3. I encourage you, Colossians is a very short book of the Bible. Read it. Seriously, read it. Read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. We're going to read the verse 10. Ready? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind. But Pastor Robert, how do I know where my mind is set? How do I know if it's set there or not? When you relax, when you're going to the restroom, driving the car, doing the dishes, sitting, drinking your coffee, and your mind wanders, where does it wander? To wherever your mind wanders to is where your attention is set. That's your dominant attention. So that's how you can show yourself where you are located, by when you just relax and let your mind just, when it does its thing, where does it go? Simple as that. I'm not going to go any further than that. I got all these examples. I'm not going to do that. Let's go on. Set your mind on things above, not on where? Okay. For you died. This is foolishness to the natural man. I'm telling you, this is absolute foolishness to the natural man, to a carnal, fleshly minded person. This is crazy talk. But for you who are spiritual and you can spiritually discern these things, this is the truth for you. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden, what? With Christ, where? Wow. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Just like it says here in Colossians, I'll just read it to you so Bruce doesn't have to go there. Verse 12 of chapter 1, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or moved us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Ephesians says the same thing, a little bit different words. But look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Don't go there. Bruce will go there. I want you to keep your finger in Colossians. But in verse 6 it says, and raised us up together and made us. He made us do it. He made us do it. He made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You didn't do it. He did it. So, have you guys heard of, I'm not wandering, I'm just commercial. Have you guys heard of quantum theories and all that stuff? You have heard of that? Quantum mechanics and all that kind of stuff? Well, within the quantum realm, it's really interesting that a particle can be at two places at one time. Isn't that crazy? In fact, you're in two places at one time. You're in the flesh and you're in the spirit. You're in this body, I should say, and you're in the spirit. So how is that possible? In the quantum reality that blinks so fast, it's just blinking so fast, it's not blinking this way, it's blinking this way. So both of them are going so fast, you're in both places at the same time. But it's going from one reality to the other, back and forth, everything's blinking. Everything is. You're in two places at one time. Where do you set your mind? Where do you put your focus? Is it on the earth? Or is it seated in the throne of God? If you abide in Him, seated in the throne of God, you ask to do anything, and He'll do it. You're seated right there. Colossians chapter 3. What verse did I stop on? 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We have to let that sink in, you guys. This is the battle. The battle is in my mind. My reality. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. I can do a whole teaching on that. That is so exciting. That is so exciting. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, with which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, swearing, or filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have what? Put off the old man with his deeds. And have what? Put on the new man, who is what? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Wow! Wow! Okay, how many of you, this is short-circuiting your brain and it's too overwhelming? It's okay. None of you. Or else you're not going to admit it in front of everybody. It's a lot to dwell on, isn't it? It is. But, you know, they say that the gospel is too good to be true. You know, it's like it's news that is so good you can't hardly believe it. You know, it's like, okay, this can't be possibly true. This cannot possibly be true. How many verses have I just read to you? But your carnal mind struggles with it because there's no life in your carnal mind. Life and peace only comes by being in the Spirit, walking according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit is life and peace. Life comes from the Spirit. Your healing comes from the Spirit into your body. Your spirit, God's spirit, talks with your spirit, and you have the mind of Christ seated in Christ in heavenly places. So now all things have become brand new for you. That whole way of living and thinking has passed away. The old man, you got to deny him. Jesus says, if you don't deny that old way of thinking, you have no part with me. He says in John 15, that if you abide in him and he abides in you, that you'll have much fruit. And by this, your heavenly Father is glorified. Jesus said in John chapter 17 that the glory that he had on the earth, he gave to you and to me. Do you know the Bible, when it talks about Jesus' glory, the first time it addresses Jesus' glory is when he turned the water into wine, he manifested his glory. He's given that to you and to me. We have some renewing of our minds that need to take place, but you can't do it separate from Christ. You have to do it with him, dwelling and abiding with him, one with him. He says, I am in you. I will never leave you and never forsake you. Did he promise that? God the Father, he said this. Go ahead and turn there with me. We're going to look in our Bibles. He said it in several places. We're going to look in, I think it's 2 Corinthians verse chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. He says this, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says that he will dwell in us. Jesus says in John also 6 that he and the Father will make their home in us. They'll abide here, and we abide with them there. Isn't that exciting? Wow. We got some praying to do, don't we? We got some getting before the Lord a little bit, huh? The Father says that when we pray, Jesus says it about the Father, that the Father sees in secret, right? So that when we pray, we go into our closet, we shut the door, and we pray to our Father who sees in secret. And then he will manifest it openly, out in public. So we have to get with God, live with God, dwell with God, abide in God, walk with the Holy Spirit. There's a very cliche phrase that is very popular, which is practice the presence of God. Not apart from him, with him. Whatever you're doing, do it unto who? The Lord. He'll give you both to will and to do. He will make the way. He will open the door. He will do the miracles. He will manifest himself. If you just make your home in him, so he can make his home in you. That if you abide in him, and he abides in you. Right? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Me in Christ, seated in heavenly places, having the mind of Christ. More than a conqueror, victorious in God. I hope this will sink into you guys. This is healing school. And this is who you are. This is so much better than we could have imagined it. The devil will try to snap you back into the earthly way of thinking. The spirit of this world will try to make you think according to the world. But if you read in Colossians, like I've asked you to read the book of Colossians, it says that he doesn't want us to be deceived by men with their philosophies, with their deceptive reasonings, living according to the principles of this world. Don't do that. But you live according to Christ, the anointed one. You do that. Don't let them deceive you. Because Christ circumcised your flesh and gave you his life. He disarmed principalities and powers. Says, don't be like those other guys do and have worship of angels and this vain glory, trying to do all these things to please God. It says, because they have no strength against the indulgences of the flesh. It's only when you see yourself, it goes on into Colossians chapter 3, that's the last verse in chapter 2, that Christ is seated in the throne of God and you are seated with him. Set your mind there. It's the only way to overcome the flesh. You have to renew your mind. You have to set it there so that when your mind drifts, it's drifting into godliness, who you are in the Spirit. I love you guys. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for it's always been there in black and white and red. It's always been available to us, Lord, but sometimes these things are hidden from our eyes. Lord, I just ask that by your Spirit, that each one here that can hear my voice, Lord, would see themselves according to who you are. That we would be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, seeing ourselves from that position, already conquerors, victorious, no longer identifying with the flesh, having our flesh circumcised and cast off now, being alive in the Spirit, Lord. That, Father, that you are in the flesh. You are in our temples. These temples are your dwelling place. We are the temple of God. We are living stones being built up together to make your house, Lord, a habitation. That you would fulfill your call and your desire through us in the earth as we are abiding in you in Christ Jesus. Father, help us all to walk through this, to understand and to hold this in our hearts, Father. And I come against any spirit of condemnation, any overwhelmed minds, that we would not wrestle with these things, but instead would relax into the truth and rest in who we are in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.